This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dunkin' is the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show. We welcome in one of our pals right now, one of the best guys out there. And who is that, Adam Crowley?
Oh, it's the delightful Jeff Hathorne, brought to you by Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek, the best pro shop in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, gearing up for the holiday weekend. Jim Lynch and the gang down there. Jeff, I'm sure that they'll have lots going on, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this is their prime time right now. I saw him yesterday, as a matter of fact, and he has been busy.
Good. All right. Busy. O'Neal Cruz busy last night, hitting a rocket into the seats. We've been talking about this for the past couple days, and Neil Walker actually brought it up too, that with a team like the Pirates, maybe their free agency is taking chances on players early. What's the chance that you think that the Pirates make a run at O'Neal Cruz and try to sign him now? And is that the smart play? And do you think, conversely, he would go for something if they put a contract in front of him, much like the Braves did with their two young stars?
By now, do you mean like within weeks?
Yes.
I don't think there's much of a chance within weeks that they would do something because they've got control of him for another 4 years. Do I think they will try to do something early like they did with Cabrian Hayes, like they're attempting to do with Brian Reynolds? Yes, I do. But they don't have to. And, you know, there's always the fear to small market. What if there's an injury? You know, what if something happens over that time? And this is guaranteed money. I think they could show him some love. Again, they show Brian Reynolds some love by buying out some years where he knew that, you know, they were under control anyhow, but maybe it was a good first step. The other thing that you have to consider is, you know, I think O'Neal probably wants to make sure that this is the place for him, because if there is one thing that is we have learned about O'Neal Cruz is, as much as we love watching him, he's pretty confident in himself too.
You mentioned Brian Reynolds there, Jeff. He seems to be right at that point where the Pirates, and granted his numbers this year don't match up to his career numbers, but right at that point where a past administration for the Pirates would have looked to deal him, especially because he might not necessarily at 27 years old line up with when they'll next be successful. How do you think that's going to play out over the next few weeks?
I think Brian Reynolds stays. I know that they love not only the way he hits the ball and that obviously the year he had last year and the June that he's having right now, but they love all the other things that he brings. The no trouble, the not getting on social media, the setting the example by playing the game the right way, no matter if you're up, you know, 5 or down 10. You know, Brian Reynolds is a guy that they show minor leaguers that this is how we're going to play baseball. This is Pittsburgh Pirates baseball. Look at this guy. And I think that carries a lot of weight. And I would never say never, because you don't know the deal that might come your way. Because I'm sure, you know, who would have thought if you were Tampa Bay that you could get that kind of deal for Chris Archer? And look what Brian Reynolds is. So, I would never say never, but I know that the Pirates want to keep Brian Reynolds around and make him a part of their future.
While we're on the subject of trading or not trading guys, what about David Bednar? You think they're listening on him?
See, I think Bednar is a little different case, because even in their bad years, the Pirates have found closers. And that's not to say that Bednar is not better than any of those guys, but closers are easier to find than all-star center fielders, in my opinion. And at where the Pirates are right now, a team could lose a closer here in the next few weeks and think that they are that piece away from winning a World Series and might be willing to give up something pretty good for a guy that's pitched as well as David Bednar. So I think that's more of a possibility than Brian Reynolds.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture. Our guy, our sports director, Jeff Hathorn, he's out there. He's everywhere covering everything. 3 years from right now, let's say opening day 2025. Who's the opening day starter and who's the second day starter?
I think in 2025, I think the opening day starter is yet to be determined. And meaning that it'll be somebody from outside the organization. I think the number two starter will be Quinn Priester.
Gotcha.
Jeff, we're 4 weeks away from report day at St. Vincent College in Latrobe. We had an interesting discussion with Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider, good friend of the show, a couple days ago, where he said he just doesn't see it. He doesn't see Najee Harris as one of the elite running backs in this league. What do we need to see from Najee? Not so much once training camp starts, but what do we need to see from him this season to tell us that he's starting to cement the first round value the Steelers spent on him?
If he got in shape, I mean, he's fast. I mean, that's why all the issues. I mean, the guy, he's obviously fat.
Right.
I don't know what else you need to see, and I respect Ross. I think, you know, obviously he played the game, and he has great opinions about the game. I think he's missing on this one. I think he's not taking into consideration the offensive line, the offensive scheme last year, and what, you know, for him to rush for 1,200 yards, given the circumstances that was presented to him, I don't see what stops Najee Harris. I mean, he's athletic. He's got a burst. He's durable. He can catch passes out of the backfield. I don't get it. I don't get that take. I think Najee Harris is going to be a top five running back if he isn't already in the NFL.
Jeff, I'm going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this a little bit later on in the program, but people are very critical of Terrell Edmonds. They are critical of Devin Bush for good reason. What about Alex Highsmith? I kind of think he's just a guy. Do you think he can be more than that?
In his college career, it was a slow progression to explode in his final season. I think we're seeing progression from Alex Highsmith. I don't know if you pick a guy where you picked him and expect him to be a double-digit sack guy. I think where he can improve is to be a little better against the rush, and hopefully that's just reps and getting a little bit more size. But I guess my expectations aren't huge. I mean, I just want a guy that's good on the other side. I think it's unrealistic to have two guys that can produce even near a TJ Watt level, which is why they couldn't afford to keep Bud Dupree. I think Highsmith has been decent, and you know, I think it's tough for him because the easy comparison is the guy on the other side of the football, which is just an unfair comparison. I do think he can get better against the rush, and that's something that he's working on. But there has been some improvement. I think he's been all right.
Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. All right, expound on this a little bit and answer this truthfully. Talk show fodder in the offseason when everybody's looking for something to talk about or real story that deserves to be talked about. Who's calling the defensive signals for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Where does that fall? Is it a real story we need to be talking about, or is it one of those, well, it's the middle of June, and hell, we got to find something to make controversy out of?
Well, it is, you know, we are at that point in the season. I don't think it's a controversial thing. I don't know if it was a controversial thing last year when, you know, Keith Butler came clean and said, you know, yeah, that Mike Tomlin's calling a lot of the plays. I think it's, does the defense work is the number one thing. That's what fans care about. That's probably what the players care
most about. So it's just identifying a fall guy before it goes bad.
Absolutely might be it. You know, it's not going to be Brian Flores. It's either going to be Mike Tomlin or Terrell Austin that takes the heat. I do believe that there is a pecking order and that Austin is the defensive coordinator and he's going to be the guy putting together the schemes. Is Brian Flores going to have a voice in that? Absolutely. Is Mike Tomlin going to have the final say in all of that? Absolutely. But I do think day to day that they're going to give Terrell Austin the opportunity to call plays, but I think it's going to be a fluid process. And they'll see how that plays out. And there's going to be times during a game where Flores is going to say, hey, why don't we do this? And they'll do that. And there'll be times in the game, multiple times in the game, where Mike Tomlin's going to overrule or say, hey, it's third down and whatever, we're going to run this defense. Or, hey, let's put this package in right now. Because he's the head coach and he has the prerogative, and that's his specialty is on defense. I don't think it's that big of a deal as long as they're all on the same page. You know, who gets credit or blame, I think, is more for us than it is internal.
Over the next 4 weeks, Jeff, leading up to that report date at St. Vincent, do we get closer or farther away from a possible Deontay Johnson contract extension?
It's interesting because, you know, when the Minka contract happened, it was the first opportunity for Omar Khan. And you wondered, was it going to get to the point of TJ Watt where it was, you know, 3 days before the season and, you know, is Minka then signing that contract? And they got that done pretty early. I'm still feeling out Omar Khan to see how this is going to play, but I do think there'll be some discussions, but I doubt there'll be a contract because, as Deontay told us, he's watching what the other receivers are getting. And if he thinks he's going to get the top of the top, I don't think that's going to happen here.
Have we seen in this time with the Steelers not being on the field, Kenny Pickett jump Mason Rudolph? Was it all just for show is what I'm asking before that Rudolph was the two, Jeff, and it just takes until training camp for then Kenny Pickett to get pushed up the depth chart?
I believe absolutely that depth chart was created, you know, could have been created the day after the draft because Mike Tomlin was not going to have a rookie at quarterback come in and be a two when you had two veterans in there. It'd be a different situation if Ben was gone and everybody was young. But because they brought in Trubisky, signed him as a free agent, the guy has experience in the league. Mason Rudolph is your incumbent, if you will. There are some positions like offensive line where I buy more into what we're seeing at OTAs and minicamp. But I think absolutely that's the Tomlin line of no rookie's going to come in here at that position and jump these guys. And I think once training camp starts, I think that's all out the window, and it's going to be about performance.
Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Last question for you before we let you go, Jeff. Who, in terms of attempts, is second? Has the second most carries this year for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
It might be Deontay Johnson.
Good call.
I would think, as it sits right now, it's Benny Snell, because Snell finds the roster because of the way he played on special teams.
Right.
And I think the other guys are just question marks behind him right now, including Anthony McFarland, who's trying to prove that a final full offseason healthy has done him right. But man, I think that's a position where you could be looking at the end of training camp of scouring to see what teams release running backs. I just think that's a fluid situation.
Jeff?
By the way, I have a question for you guys.
Sure.
I heard you mentioning about what pirates you would want to fight. Now, there's got to be one of you that said O'Neal Cruz, right?
No.
I don't want him on the fight team because he's too valuable. I don't want him out there swinging. He's busting his hand.
Oh, if there was a bench clear brawl, I don't want to fight anybody. You mean if there was a fight that happened? Okay,
the guys would come off the other bench, and O'Neal Cruz would stand up and stare at them, and they'd all stop and turn around. Wouldn't you? I mean, if O'Neal Cruz is looking at you like that and about to throw, like, I'm going the other way.
He seems to be a pretty menacing figure, yeah.
We would get the stat cast on how far he throws the sunflower seeds. Yes. How hard he does.
CompuBox on O'Neal Cruz.
How hard his glare was. All right, what's on the website before we let you go, Jeff? Before let everybody know, check it out, 937thefan.com.
Yeah, more on the Buccos. Obviously, there's going to be some roster turnover. What Ben Cherington is saying about strikeouts with this Pirates team right now, and is there a cautionary tale about a former Pirates first-round pick that used to strike out, and they didn't want that anymore, and they ruined the guy? So what Cherington is saying, and I'm going to go up to Altoona tomorrow and talk to Henry Davis and a couple of other guys. So we'll have that on the website in the next couple of days.
Wonderful. Jeff Hathorn. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
All right. You know what? If Jeff gets a nice 2 or 3 minutes, Adam, with Henry Davis, that's going to be something we could play on our show. I'm intrigued by that. Yeah. Henry Davis, a very, very high-end prospect, and I do like that. We'll see what – that's another guy. You know, I don't want to say people forget about
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.